after camp. Okay, well, let's take out the Bible and have a look in the Word tonight. Speaking of revival, in the last 5 days in Pakistan, there have been a lot of baptisms, about 38. On three different occasions. Numbers, chapter 10. Title of the talk tonight is The Trumpet. Sally mentioned that in the testimony, that she sort of stared at the trumpet logo. Was that during the meetings, was it? On the front of the lectern. And on the lectern, you mean? Yeah, and our keystone scripture, Acts 2:38, is sort of in amongst those trumpets. But what is the trumpet all about in the Bible? Well, this is a little bit of a walk through that. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So at this point, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They've been, the Israelites were in Egypt, and we estimate from Bible records that they are about 3 million people, because the Bible actually numbers very exactly the number of men aged above 20 who were fighting age, and says there were 603,000 or 600,300, something like that, about 600,000 men of fighting age. And if you sort of work out from that the family demographics and so on, you come at about 2.5 to 3 million people. So they were the number that went out through the Red Sea with Moses. They went into the wilderness. The Lord started speaking to Moses and setting up all sorts of laws and protocols, ways of doing things. They set up the Passover. We've been talking recently about the Ark of the Covenant, which was built and set up 1 year later. And this is about this same point, about 1 year into their journey after coming out of Egypt. So we're about 1500 years BC here. And all through these books, God talks to Moses and said, I want this done and I want that done and I want it made this way and that way. And he's very precise. And you'll see that even in this description of trumpets. So there were two trumpets to be made of one whole piece. They weren't to have joints in them. And they were to be used here for the calling of the assembly and the journeying of the camps. And it goes on to describe the differences between various calls and various trumpets. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you shall blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. So notice there was a certain kind of call on the trumpet that was an alarm. And then the tribes that were camped on the east side, they had to go forward first, because you can imagine 3 million people. How do you move them? If you've got runners running through the camp, it's going to take forever. So they'd have this trumpet. And in previous chapters of Numbers, it describes how these tribes were to be camped: three on the east, and three on the south, and three on the west, and three on the north. And which tribes they were to be, and in which order, and who was the lead tribe of the three. And what they were surrounding was the rectangular tabernacle in the wilderness, which was a sort of a poles and curtains, which was put up. And inside was the sort of the holy room where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And we've talked about that recently. So they were all very structured and ordered. And these trumpets helped to move people around. And certain calls meant one side moved first. Verse 6, when you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. So there was a certain kind of sound that meant, come on, people, gather in. We're all going to, we're going to talk. At other times, there was an alarm. Who knows, maybe it went doot, 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 and they all... you started moving off on the journey. So there was a certain call. He just says, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the people would come together. Verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So we see there's even more purposes here. Blowing the trumpets over the offerings where animals were killed to, and their blood put on the altar and so on as an atonement for the sins of the people. This is Old Testament stuff. Some people in Israel still do that today. I saw something on TV where they run around after these goats and they catch them, and at a certain time of year they kill a goat, and they're still stuck in this Old Testament. But, you know, praise the Lord, we've been updated. We're in the New Testament, and Jesus Christ's blood has set us free. So we see trumpets there. Now I'll go up to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's the first time we sort of read about trumpets back there. But the rest of the Bible's full of it. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, just going to take one verse, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Thank you. And we shall be changed. It's talking about the time of the return of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, when he comes back, it's in the twinkling of an eye, there's going to be this trumpet sound, and people are going to be raised up. And we, if we're still walking around on the earth at the time, are going to be changed at that time. We've got the Holy Spirit within. We know that it's happened before, because Jesus himself was changed when he rose from the dead. He walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't even recognize him. They didn't know who it was. Another time he walked through the wall into a locked room, and he was there amongst them, and he revealed himself to them. Another time, you know, they were fishing, and Jesus said, "Have you caught anything?" They didn't realize it was him straight away. And then Peter said, "Oh, it's the Lord," and he jumps out of the boat, doesn't he? So we're going to be changed like that too. But the trumpet is there. Go to another one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Also talking about the return of Jesus Christ, which is mentioned so many times in the New Testament. And the old, actually. And Paul here is writing to a church in Thessalonica in Greece, and he says in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." The word prevent could be translated as precede, and asleep, the Bible explains, means those that have died, but they've already got the Holy Spirit, they're actually just asleep. They're not actually dead, because they've got life forever by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to, those that are still alive when the Lord comes back are not going to precede those that have died, like our sister Joan a few years ago, and are asleep at the moment. And verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever and ever." Pretty good. But there's a trumpet there too, and not only is there a trumpet, but there's also a shout. And that's significant too, since it adds in the shout here and the voice of the archangel and this trumpet and the rising. So it's like an alarm. Come together, everyone comes together. As we saw that in Numbers there was a certain purpose for the trumpet to bring everyone together, a gathering, and this is like a gathering too, and the trumpet sounds. It's not going to be a natural trumpet, someone standing on the earth as they did in the Exodus, and in the book of Numbers there, blowing. It's going to be just this sound of the trumpet of God. Okay, we're going back to the Old Testament just for a couple of verses. Joshua chapter 6. And this is the story of Moses has just died. He's handed over the reins to Joshua, his protege, Well, the Lord chose Joshua to be his protege, to learn from Moses, and he was, you know, bold and brave and proved himself. And they come over Jordan and they come into the land that's promised to them, Canaan. And the first thing they have to do is to defeat this city, Jericho, which is a strong city just inside. And verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Everyone feared this great big army of Israel, these 3 million people coming over the horizon. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, or go around it, it means, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So here now we see a story of a trumpet being sounded, and a great shout, and a victory coming from that. And in the Bible, you can trace through the story of Jericho, and you see that it symbolizes the world in many cases in the Bible, and that Jerusalem, meaning city of peace, Salem, meaning peace, represents the city of God. Zion is there, which is the highest point in the city. And, you know, these words become interchangeable. Like Zion can mean, you know, the people of God. It can mean the holy city, God's place. Jerusalem can mean, you know, city of peace. It can mean, you know, the church. And, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan. He goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho where he gets beaten up. You know, it's a story about going into the world and getting beaten up in the world, as we do. But you can come to the city of peace and you know, it's all good there. So anyway, Jericho. So when we look at it like that, we see that this is a victory going to be over Jericho, the city which represents the world. The walls are going to fall down. There's the sound of a trumpet and there's all this shouting. In verse 10, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, and then you shall shout. So there was a specific time for shouting and not before. In verse 16, and it came to pass at the 7th time, when they went around the city the 7 times on the same day, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So it's time to shout. The time of the very final time around the city, the time when the victory was about to be had, that's when he said, shout, the Lord has given you this city. And in verse 20, so when the people shouted, when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So there we have it, the trumpet, the shouting, the walls falling down, the victory, they took the city, they spoiled it, and in other words, they took all the treasure from it. And no, they didn't, did they? Hang on. Excise that from your from the tape, because Achan went and took something and he wasn't supposed to. So they weren't to take the stuff of the world. Sorry about that. Let's go up to Judges chapter 7. And if another story, this one's Gideon. So background to this is that for 400 years they didn't have kings. They had judges who ruled over them, who just judged according to the word of God's law, which they'd been given, and he judged things. And Gideon was one of these great judges who judged over Israel for 40 years, and he proved himself as a young man by winning this great victory over the Midianites. And the reason he was chosen to be the leader is he just had the right attitude. He just said, where are all the miracles, Lord? I want to see the miracles that I've heard about. And, you know, how come we're in this bad situation? We're being oppressed by this other nation. And because he was so indignant, and God sent a prophet to speak, and he listened to the prophet, and he got inspired, and then the Lord spoke to him and said, well, you're going to be the man that delivers Israel. And we know the story of Gideon, how he had 22,000 men who were willing to fight with him, and God said, no, there's too many, and he reduced it down to 10,000, and then he reduced it down to 300 men. So from 22,000, you reduced it, no, 32,000 I think we started with, 32,000 down to 300, which is a tiny percentage of the original number. And it says in verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets. And Gideon does an interesting thing. Let's pick it up in verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Just keep your eye on me, and whatever I do, I want you to do that. When I blow with a trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow you on the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So he just had 300 men. In one hand was a trumpet, and the other hand was this lamp inside a pitcher, you know, an earthen vessel, and that the light was inside. It couldn't be seen because it was inside this vessel. So Gideon, in verse 19, and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. So they broke these earthen pitchers, the light could then shine, and they were blowing the trumpets at the same time. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. In other words, all the Midianites, they ran, they were confused, they cried out, they were yelling, they just were fleeing. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zerarath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. So they completely routed them, and they won the battle with only 300 men. And, you know, the battle was already won. And all they'd done was blow on these trumpets and break the earthen vessel so the light shone out, and the enemy was so confused. They thought, well, all this noise and all this light suddenly appearing, they were running all this way and that, and, you know, they pursued after them and completely won and, you know, slew a few people along the way. So that was a great victory. So here we have the trumpets, and we've got the shouting again, and this time now we've got some light as well. So now we're going to go up to Revelation chapter 1, the New Testament. We know that the Old Testament is an instruction for us. It's a schoolmaster. It says in one place, teaches us things about our own experience, about our own salvation. And it also says it's the honour of kings to search out a matter, the glory of God to conceal it, but the honour of kings to search it out. So if you want to find out about anything in the Bible, you are a king after all, or you know, in a spiritual sense. And you can search it out, and it's to your honour. And you can find any topic like this and just start winkling it out from the Old Testament and follow it right through to the New, and you'll find a theme, a part of God's plan associated with it. And here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, you know, it's a good book to read. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was to show things to his servants, us, things that must come to pass. John was the agent of this, John the Apostle, who wrote this book as he saw things, as he saw the visions, and we're blessed to be reading it and understanding it. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the first one to rise from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests. There you go. He's made us kings and priests. Unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, and it starts talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother. So it switches back and forth between speaking the first person, you know, I am Alpha and Omega, that's Jesus speaking there. And then it goes back to John in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is thought to be in the late 90s of the first century, that John the Apostle was on this island of Patmos and had this vision and wrote this book. And he goes on, John here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. And this is the voice of Jesus Christ, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. And this is Jesus Christ returning, written in very symbolic form, where it describes him, you know, white like wool and his feet like fine brass and so on, and all those things are symbolic. But in the middle of all that is this voice as of a trumpet, and it's Jesus Christ. So that trumpet that we hear, that we read about in 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye and with the sound of the trump and the trumpet of God, Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the sound of the trumpet and the archangel and the shout, Jesus Christ. So the trumpet, just like so many things in the books of the law, the Old Testament, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, are all about Jesus Christ. And all these very specific things, a lot of them typify Jesus Christ and the trumpet itself and calling people together. You know, it's a gathering, and it's Jesus' voice that is the trumpet. If you just go up to chapter 19, it mentions again about the sword. Of course, the sword, you know, in John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God, and it became flesh and dwelt among us. Another place it says that the word is the sword of God, that it cuts and divides. And of course, that's the symbolism of this sword that goes out of his mouth. It's the word of God that came out of Jesus' mouth, and it cuts and divides and makes things either right or wrong. In verse 15 it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And of course, at the time that Jesus appears like this in his glory, as the word of God reappearing, we have this transition to a new age. In verse 1 of chapter 21, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So we want to stay where we are, where we can hear the trumpet in the Old Testament. You know, it was a gathering together. It was something that won the victory for them over Jericho. It was something that won the victory under Gideon, and the shouting and the light. And of course, when the Lord returns, the light that's in each one of you will also be revealed, because the earthen picture, of course, is your earthly body. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says in another place. And the earthen vessel will just fall off, as with Gideon, it'll be broken, the light will shine out, everyone will see it on this earth. Jesus Christ will be the great light, his voice will be like a trumpet, and we need to watch and pray and make sure we're listening out for it. And all the people said, Amen.